My heart's desire is that the Lord would set us free today. Amen. Even if you've been set free, if there's just a little bit of a chain hanging off of the back of your shoe somewhere, and if God can take that off and give you that much more freedom, I pray He would do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Truly, truly, God wants His children to wake up alive inside. Not burdened down with weights and chains and cares of this world. He came so we could, from the very moment our eyes, even before we open our eyes, our hearts can be filled with gratitude and joy and expectation from what God has for us. Yeah. Yeah. So with that in mind, I just want to dive right into the Word. You guys ready to feast on the Word of God today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 33. We're just going in feet first. Jesus is with His disciples. He's walking down the road. And it says, then He came to Capernaum. Now, by the way, for information's sake, Capernaum basically was where Jesus lived as an adult. It was more or less his hometown. I believe it's possible Peter's house might have been there also. Some think that this may have even been Peter's house, maybe one of his family members, the child. It's conjecture, but anyway. Then He came to Capernaum. And when He was in the house, He asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed amongst themselves who would be the greatest. Yeah. And He sat down, like a rabbi would generally do when he goes to teach. He sat down and He called the 12. And He said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And then He took a little child and He set him in the midst of them. And when He had taken him in His arms, He said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in My name receives Me. And whoever receives Me receives not Me, but Him who sent Me. There's so much freedom in this passage of Scripture. We enslave ourselves. We are our own worst slave driver. And God has given us this truth to set us free from those things. Praise God. Now, a little bit of background. 2 weeks ago, we started on this general passage. We talked about the Mount of Transfiguration. How many people have ever heard of the Mount of Transfiguration? Okay, a couple, two or three. This is where Jesus took His three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, apart from the others, and they went up onto this mountain. These were the disciples that were closest to Jesus. They were the most intimate with Him. He loved all of His disciples, but these were the ones that pressed in most zealously, most passionately to know His heart and to know Him. And so He took them, apart from the others whom He left on the ground, took them up to this high mountain where people meet with God. And He took them up there and He was transfigured before them. He allowed them to see His glory. His face shone like the sun. His clothes radiated like the noonday sun. And that Shekinah cloud of glory just enveloped them. And they heard the voice of the Father speaking out of the cloud, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. They even saw Moses and Elijah standing there with Jesus. They had a great revelation of how Jesus is greater than even the law and the prophets. It all points to Him. And then last week, we saw the other nine. while these guys were up on the mountain just being bathed in the glory of God. Their buddies were down on the bottom of the mountain, failing miserably, struggling miserably, trying to minister to some poor, helpless boy who was possessed by a demon, had no success, couldn't cast them out. Now they were in the middle of a huge argument. The scribes were just beating up on them and railing on them. The crowd of onlookers was coming and just making a spectacle of them. The father of the boy was just beside himself. He was in anguish. He's like, I don't care who's right. Somebody just heal my kid. No, confusion and chaos, anxiety and tension. Praise God. And then Jesus comes down the mountain, casts out the demon, and puts everything right. And so they're walking along the road, going to Capernaum. And just kind of envision it. You're there. You're on the road. It's dusty. Might be a little bit hot. You know, it's Palestine. And you're one of these nine. And you're just like, man, I hate days like this. You know, you get up. I've cast out demons before. We went out two by two, man. I've done this stuff. I don't know what went wrong fasting and prayer. Man, he told me I didn't have to fast. He's with us. I don't know what's wrong. And these guys over here all acting up think they're all that. They are not all that, man. Just because he took them up on the mountain, I don't know what their problem is. They got an attitude. If I had an attitude like that, man, I don't think God would take me anywhere. You know, I mean, in that, really, here are these guys, they saw God. And here's these other guys, they saw nothing but confusion. And they're walking down the road. And you can imagine Peter, James, and John, boy, they're just strutting. They're just, yeah, that's right, I'm bad. Yeah, Jesus chose me. Come on up, man, I got something for you. Well, naturally, I mean, you know, hey, after all, I'm gonna be the great. I'm his favorite, man. I'm going to be the greatest. When this kingdom gets established, man, I'm going to be sitting right next to him. Not like these fools. Boy, if they had it together, they might have been up on the mountain. But no, you know, y'all just, you knew what you were doing. Do you think there might be a little bit of tension on the road? Just a little bit. You can imagine if they were riding in a van, like, you know, 13-passenger van, you know. Not a pretty sight. But, you know, not willing to embarrass them any further in public. He waits till they get in the house, and they go inside in private, and he's like, what were you guys talking about back there? I noticed a little bit of tension on the road. Yeah. He knows what they were talking about, but he's trying to draw them out a little bit. What were you guys talking about? And what was their reaction? Nothing, honey. Don't you hate when you know you're in the flesh? You know, man, your carnal thoughts. I mean, you know, you've just been grinding, but it's been eating away at you, and you're just reveling in that fleshly carnal reaction, and somebody calls you out. What you thinking about? What we were going to have for dinner tonight, or you know, and you lie on top of it. And they're embarrassed. They know they were wrong. They know it was carnal. They know, you know, this whole thing was just such an exercise of the flesh. And Jesus calls them out. What are you talking about? And they can't even speak. He's like, yeah, I read your mail. I know. But they were embarrassed because they were talking about who was going to be the greatest. And I'm sure, especially Peter, James, and John, well, I think it's me. Well, you don't know what you're talking about. I'll tell you why it's me. Blah, 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 blah. Well, that doesn't mean nothing. Blah, 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 blah. On and on and on. Who is going to be the greatest? So many people want to achieve greatness. Let me say that again. So many people want to achieve greatness. That is such a chain that will enslave your soul and can make your life a living hell of frustration and disappointment and discouragement and anxiety and fear and insecurity. I have nothing against greatness. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking greatness. But so many people want to achieve, lay a hold of greatness. And we honor people that we say have achieved greatness, don't we? I mean, we write books about them. We line them up and we say, you know, Time Magazine, Man of the Year, or whatever, you know. And we write books about them. We make movies and documentaries about them. We build statues of them. We educate people and tell them all about them. We have holidays in their honor, you know, so-and-so's birthday because they have achieved greatness. And oh, man, if I could only achieve that kind of, that stature, that measure, that greatness, if only I could reach to that. If only somehow I could be there instead of here. Here sucks, excuse me. Here just, I don't like it here, man. If only I could be there, man, my life would be something. And we daydream about it, and we talk about it, and we read about it, and we ache for there. People crave that, especially men, but generally people crave that because they need some sense of self-worth. If I reached that, if I could achieve that, I would be somebody instead of this nobody.